against the SEC is next up for argument. Mr. Hart.
Good morning. May it please the Court. No one ever registers stock with the SEC unless they want their stock to trade. So with that in mind, I'd like to address three different concerns. The first is that the SEC misapplies their own laws. The second is the mootness issue. And the third is that Section 25C does not bar our argument.
I think you need to address mootness first. That deals with justiciability.
No problem, Your Honor. Okay. If this court reverses the SEC, then Terra Gold stock can begin trading. And the reason why...
I gather from what the SEC said is that it not only can trade, but it is trading now.
It could be trading on an unsolicited basis, but that's not the true value of trading.
I'm lost. This stock has been registered with the SEC.
Oh, correct, but it's not trading right now.
But it can trade, right?
It can, but it's not.
Yeah. Well,
the reason
how is that different? If you prevail in this case, what legal right do you acquire that you don't have now?
It's certainly more practical.
No. I want to know law. What legal right do you acquire that you don't have now?
Then we can withdraw our Form 10, and we don't have to answer the SEC comments, and the Form 211 that we filed with FINRA...
I'm lost. You're going to have to explain this.
Okay.
And I'm a professor of securities law on the side, so if you've said something that loses a professor of securities law, you've got a lot of explaining to do.
Well, it has more to do with FINRA than anything else. And as you know, FINRA regulates trading. And
I think you would be well advised to speak using real words. FINRA is not a word.
Okay, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. And they regulate trading, as you know. And in order for a stock to trade, you've got a broker must file a Form 211. But FINRA is not going to clear that Form 211 if there's outstanding comments issued by the SEC regarding one of the issuer's filings. So if this court reverses the SEC, we can withdraw the Form 10, not have to deal with the comments, and the comments on the Form 211 are no longer an issue.
You've just completely lost me. Your reply brief says nothing whatsoever in response to the SEC's contention that nothing turns on the outcome of this case. It says nothing.
That is correct. And at the time we filed our petition and at the time that we filed our reply brief, we didn't necessarily think that mootness was an issue because at that point in time...
I don't see how you can file your reply brief and not think mootness is an issue. The SEC had said in its brief that the case is moot. Your reply brief is the time for you to make a contrary argument. You make no contrary argument whatsoever.
In our reply?
Yes, in your reply brief. You make no argument. You have no arguments about the legal consequences of this. Now you want us to follow some jargon. We have no idea what you may have filed, what legal consequences, if any, it has. It's not something we're going to take judicial notice of.
What's that?
That's exactly my problem. What's that? What Form 10 have you filed? What consequences does it have?
Well, if the SEC did not issue comments regarding the Form 10, then we wouldn't be here.
We haven't a clue what Form 10 is or what comments the SEC has made, if any.
I believe that in our reply brief, we attached the comment letter from the SEC as well as from FINRA. And I do believe we responded to the SEC's mootness argument in their response brief, in our reply, not in our initial brief, because we did not think that mootness was an issue at that point in time.
I just continue to be utterly perplexed.
Well, it's just quite simply, the injury is the revocation stops all trading, and that's what's important for our client and companies like our client.
Are you saying that if you prevail in this case, the SEC has to withdraw the comments it has made?
What I'm saying is if we prevail, we can withdraw our Form 10.
Why would it have to do that?
Why would we have to do it, or why would they have to do it?
Why would they have to do that?
They could still issue comments, but if we withdraw the Form 10, they wouldn't be able to comment on the Form 10 itself. And we wouldn't have to deal with those comments in the Form 211 in order to get the stock to trade again.
You know, I don't know anything about securities, but what's in Form 10 that's bothering you so much about these comments?
It's not.
If you subtract the Form 10 in the comments, then there's things you don't have to worry about, I guess, and then nobody, whoever is supposed to be made aware of something by these comments, doesn't matter. I don't even know how to ask a question, I guess, where I am.
It's not so much what's in the Form 10. It's so much as when a Form 10 gets filed, the SEC will typically comment on it.
Yeah.
And if this court grants us relief, then...
What's the comment?
There's 41 comments, sir.
Yeah, well...
And they have to do with what the SEC's interpretation of what's wrong with the Form 10.
So it's all about Form 10?
Yes, it is.
So we take Form 10 out, then they don't have anything to say.
That's correct. And then we can trade again.
All right.
If the court has no further questions for me, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Mr. Torre.
May it please the court, Louis Della Torre for the SEC. Let me say a word about the mootness issue before I would get to the merits issue about why the Commission did not abuse its discretion when it determined that revocation of a securities registration was necessary and appropriate for the protection of investors based upon the full record in this case. What I understand the other side's argument to be, Your Honor, is that because the securities registration was revoked by the Commission, they not only wanted to appeal that, but they wanted to file a re-registration of them on their own voluntary action, just file a Form 10. The statute under which that form is filed to register their securities says that it's automatically effective in 60 days. During that period, the Commission staff comments on that Form 10 that they submit and brings to their attention if there are deficiencies in the form and asks them to correct them or if they're serious enough to withdraw the form. But it still goes automatically effective if the company simply ignores the comments, which is what happened here.
Well, it becomes effective unless the Commission blocks its effectiveness, which it didn't.
Your Honor, there is Section 12J of the Exchange Act does say that the Commission can deny effectiveness of registration.
Right. But in this case, it didn't.
As a practical matter, Your Honor, since the SEC doesn't declare these registrations effective, that is, they come effective automatically, it would have had to have brought a 12J proceeding during the period of the 60 days and then conclude that proceeding within the 60 days in order to prevent the automatic registration. And there are practical difficulties doing that and resource difficulties doing that. And in the past, there hasn't been need to do that because companies have received comments, have responded to the comments, have cleared the comments, or have simply withdrawn the form. And so it just hasn't been necessary to go into this extraordinary mode to see if it could be done within this 60-day period to deny it. What happens then is this: the comments are made on the form. Now, the form goes automatically effective.
It's like the 10, Form 10?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, the registration becomes effective. The form doesn't become effective.
That's right, Your Honor. And
the commission allowed the registration to become effective.
It did not bring a proceeding to stop it. You're right, Your Honor. That's right. And then the Form 10 became effective.
No, the Form 10 didn't become
effective. I know, the registration.
The registration became effective.
Precisely, registration.
That's one reason why I'm getting so confused. People aren't talking in terms of what's actually going on here.
You're right, Your Honor.
The registration is effective.
Precisely. And then what that meant was that the securities, that then what happened was a brokerage firm said, we would like to quote these securities on one of these electronic quotation systems that are out there for trading of the security, which is called the over-the-counter bulletin board, which is run by this FINRA, which is the self-regulatory organization for brokers and dealers.
I wish you, too, would use real words. FINRA is an initialism. It's one of the more ugly initialisms. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't stand for anything, right?
You're right. Financial Industry Regulatory Association, Your Honor. That organization which runs the bulletin board then receives this form from a broker that wants to quote the securities. And one of the criteria that it looks at when it gets this form and decides whether it's going to clear the form and allow the quotation to go up on its trading system, its quotation system, is that it says, has the issuer responded to the comments that the SEC made on the Form 10? The problem with their argument, though, is that you notice that there are 12 comments in that letter from Financial Industry Regulatory Association. There are 12 comments, one of which is that they didn't clear the comments. There are a whole bunch of other comments on that letter. And the truth is that there had also been, at the time that the Commission instituted the proceeding to revoke the security registration, it did a 10-day trading suspension so that the stock and the company couldn't trade. And that trading suspension triggers additional scrutiny when the company tries to come back in later to have, or when the suspension passes and the company wants, a firm wants to trade its securities. So that's another problem here. And finally,
are you saying something that you can't rescind all this and get back to some earlier stage?
I'm saying that which is what they're saying in this appeal, they're saying if this court would simply reverse the commission's revocation order, take that out, then the company's securities can trade freely on these systems. And what we're saying is that doesn't follow at all. That's entirely speculative because there are other reasons why the Financial Industry Regulatory Association would not clear that form and allow the security to be quoted on their over-the-counter bulletin board system. And finally, another reason why they wouldn't is because, in addition to the trading suspension triggering additional scrutiny, you have the fact that the Commission, in its opinion on revocation, even if the opinion is reversed, they haven't challenged findings in the opinion that the most recent periodic reports filed by the company were deficient. So there are deficiencies identified in their most recent reports that the Financial Industry Regulatory Association is going to have that information. They're also going to have the information that the Form 10 was in fact filed with the commission and had identified a whole bunch of deficiencies. And though the fact that the company filed that form and the deficiencies were identified doesn't go away as a historical matter, so the Financial Industry Regulatory Association is going to have to deal with that problem as well in deciding whether to clear their form. So that when you add up all of these different factors, the concern is how do you say that this court simply removing the commission's revocation order is going to mean that these can trade on this bulletin board system when there are all these other reasons why that might not happen at all? Your Honor, on the merits, we would just point out that the Commission applied the framework for analysis and considered the factors laid out in its gateway decision, and it found that Tara Golden engaged in serious and recurrent violations with culpability, and that its effort to remedy past violations and ensure future compliance had repeatedly fallen short, and that its assurances that it would file future reports on time were not credible. Tarragold didn't file a timely periodic report during the nine-year...
I've got a question about SEC practice. I suppose it's not technically important here, but why does the SEC allow issuers to make a monkey out of it? Right? There's a statute which says you have to file certain reports on it every quarter and certain reports yearly as a condition of remaining registered. The SEC appears to be... well, lax would be a generous description. Why doesn't the SEC have an automatic rule that if you're, you know, if you are late filing your quarterly report, you're automatically suspended? And if you're 90 days late, you're automatically revoked. Why does it allow firms like Tara Gold to go for 3 years without filing and then have proceedings like this? You can't be serious about the act if you allow registrants to be 3 years out of time.
Well, Your Honor, one point to make is the 2 points I would make in answer to that is just to the statutory system has these different parts that each in their own way serve important purposes. And what happens in the example you're talking about is a company that comes along and tries to abuse the way these different things work together. The second point I would make is that a backdrop of the SEC system is the fact that the Financial Industry Regulatory Association does have requirements for their bulletin board system, their over-the-counter bulletin board, that have precisely the kind of things you're talking about. In other words, they have a rule approved by the Commission that would say that within any two-year period, you can only be late three times, and with any two-year period, you can only be kicked off two times. And when you get what kick-off means is that you're late not just, you're not just late a few days, you're late 30 days, and then after that, you're kicked off that bulletin board system. So trading this is against a backdrop where trading on that bulletin board system is restricted by the FINRA rule approved by the Commission. But to the first point, what you have the registration provision, you have the reporting provision, and you have the revocation provision in the statute. What the Commission tries to do, and it's gotten rid of 2,500 since this program had put in place in 94, 2,500 companies like this. But what it does is it contacts the company and gives them an opportunity to try to come current. And if they respond to that, then it tries to work with them as a matter of prosecutorial discretion to give them a schedule. And some of these companies do come back and avoid having current shareholders have to go through the interruption of trading that can occur with a revocation. So the problem comes when you have a company that then tries to use. So then finally, the commission tries to give a company an opportunity. Then it brings a proceeding. Then the company finally starts to say, "Well, let me try to get my house in order," and then uses the proceeding to try to do enough to make a claim that it should not be revoked. And then the commission at that point decides and then revokes. And then what happens here is a company then turns around, not because it's cleaned up its act, not because of any indications that anything's going to be any different, and then just files this Form 10, which serves the purpose of allowing newer, younger companies to come in with only a couple years of information and allows older companies that have indeed cleaned up their act to come back and avoid the disruption to their companies from a revocation, a long-standing period of revocation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hart.
Good morning. I'm glad that counsel for the SEC brought up the deficiency argument. And it shows that one of the main reasons, or one of the principal reasons the SEC used in revoking the registration of Tara Gold was supposedly these deficiencies in the 10-Qs. And the deficiencies they cited was that Tara Gold, in this 10-Qs, did not have statements of stockholders' equity. They cited Article 10 of Regulation SX, which requires this. Unfortunately, Tara Gold is a small reporting company. Excuse me. As a small reporting company, Article 10 does not apply to them. Article 8 does.
You said small reporting?
Small reporting company. There's different criterias for companies. Small reporting companies, accelerated filers.
Is that based on the number of shareholders there are?
It's mainly assets.
Oh.
Revenues, assets, things of that nature. So a small reporting company is not regulated by Article 10. They're regulated by Article 8. Of Regulation SX. Article 8 does not require small reporting companies to put statements of stockholders' equity in their 10-Q reports. So the SEC isn't even following its own rules in terms of what they say is a deficiency. It was not a deficiency. They're not required to do it, pure and simple. And even the SEC in their brief, I believe it on page 9, says, yes, Tara Gold is a small reporting company, and they are subject to Article 8, not Article 10. The test here is what is in the best interest of the investors, to protect investors, not punish Terra Gold. If the SEC wanted to punish Terra Gold, there's lots of other sections in the Securities Act that allow them to do that. But the test is, when they made that decision to revoke the registration, to terminate all trading in Terra Gold, was that necessary for the protection of investors? And at the time they did that, Terra Gold had audited financial statements on file with the SEC for 2010, 9, 8, 7, 6. They had 10Q reports for March 31st, 2011. They had all filed their 10Q reports for 2010. And when you file a 10Q report, you have to give comparative numbers. So in those 2010 10Q reports, quarterly reports, were also the quarterly numbers for 2009. So all this information was on file with the SEC at the time they revoked Terra Gold's registration, ostensibly to protect investors.
Were those late filed?
I believe some of them were, yes, filed. Yes, they were, because Terra Gold was in a catch-up mode. Yeah. But at the time that the revocation was there, this was all on file on the EDGAR system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.